The church this morning lifts up two widows in our readings. She lifts up these two widows. And widows, especially in the ancient time, were very vulnerable because when their husband died, they had no one to provide for them, no one to take care of them. And we hear throughout sacred scripture again and again that God has a special place in his heart for the weak, the poor, the vulnerable, the widows. And again in the Old Testament, he commands Israel that they have to take special care of them in their midst. He has a special place in his heart for widows. But if that's true, what's going on in this first reading of 1 Kings? What's going on in God's heart as this whole scene unfolds? I love this exchange between the widow and the prophet Elijah. So there's the widow and her son, and she's going to make the very last of the food that they have, and then they're going to starve. She knows this. So what does God do? He sends his prophet Elijah, not to bring them food, not to bring them the money they would need to get food. No, Elijah shows up on the scene and asks them for food. So he says, can you go get me a glass of water? Oh, and while you're at it, can you give me a little bread? Just a little bit of bread? What a jerk. So she says, I've only got this little bit. I only have a little bit of flour and some oil. I'm going to make it, and my son and I, we're going to die. You can hear the despair in her heart, that there is a losing of a grip of hope. She's losing hold of hope. And so Elijah responds, okay, go and do as you propose, but first make me a little cake. What's God doing here? What's he doing here through his prophet? He's already worked a number of miracles through Elijah. Why doesn't he come and just work a miracle here? Multiply the flour and oil that she has right there for him. God, though, God is testing her heart. He's testing this widow's heart. As he goes about and he tests your heart as well. Why is he doing this? He's testing her heart to open it up. I want. When it comes to God, I want things to be easy. I really do. I want things to be easy. Where I turn to God in faith and a little bit of persistence, and then something happens. I want things to be easy, not just in my life, but with God. God, though, is not interested in that. He's not interested in making things easy for us. He instead wants to do something great. He wants to do something great, and the greatest thing that the human soul can receive in this life is not food. He doesn't just want to give food to the widow and her son. He wants to give the greatest thing that we can receive in this life, which is faith. He wants to give them hope. He wants to give, and this is where he's testing her heart, to open it, to stretch it, so that the faith that he gives her is one that can be deep. Not just a shallow faith, but a deep one. And this is what he wants to give to you as well. It's why things aren't easy with God. Because he's not interested in surface level, shallow things. He wants to give you something that's deep and something that'll last. And he wants to give you that in the form of faith. And it's also in the gospel when Jesus gathers his disciples and he points to the widow putting the two coins in the treasury. It's her faith that he points out. Because faith allows God to do something that he otherwise is not able to do. not because he's not powerful enough, but because he's not going to force himself on us. Do you know what one of the great desires of God's heart is? One of the greatest desires of his heart is he wants to take care of you. He wants to provide for you, as a good father does. He wants to reveal himself to you as a good father in such a way that it fills your soul with an astonishment. He wants you to be amazed by him, amazed at his goodness, his providential care, his faithfulness. But so often, oftentimes we resist that. We don't let him. Why? Because we don't know him as our Father. We know the Our Father prayer. We know that's what we call him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we don't know him as our Father, your Father. A Father provides and cares for. We don't trust him, though. Elijah, to his credit, tells the widow, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." He's telling her to have faith. But that's hard. Faith is hard. Fear is a lot easier. Fear is easier, but the sad thing in the midst of fear is that we never actually experience who God is. We don't get to know him. We never actually experience him in a way that we experience him taking care of us in a very vulnerable place. Because we take hold and we want to control and have a tight grip on the things in our life. And it's only through faith, though, through really knowing who God is and entrusting our life to him, that we actually come to experience him as a provident father. God's great desire for this widow at Zarephath, his great desire was to give her more than she could have ever imagined. But imagine, though, if she would have looked at it and took a calculated risk, looked at it in terms of a calculated risk, and held on too tightly to the last bit of oil and flour she had. It said, "Yeah, I can get you the glass of water, but I can't give you the food. It's the last we have. I hope you'll understand." What happens then? What happens? The widow would have been right. She would have been absolutely dead on. They would have had that little bit of food, and then her and her son would have died. Not because God's cruel, but because he's not going to force himself on us. Instead, he wants to open us to receive what he wants to give for us. And in doing that, he wants to fill us with an astonishment at the way in which he provides for us. Think of the widow and her son after this little exchange, right? Think of the following year in which she lived with an amazement that here they were going to die, and instead God, through this prophet in this weird exchange, provided more than they could have ever had. But when we live out of fear, do you know what that robs us of? It robs us of the ability to be amazed. When was the last time God actually truly amazed your heart? Where he just astonished you? I want to share a grace with you. I'm going to keep it very purposely vague. But this summer, I was just running an errand. And in the midst of it, it was just an imprint on the heart where God at one point said, "You need to pray for this person." I was just out in town. Person I'd never seen before, never met. was, you need to pray for this person. I thought, that's a funny thought to have. And there's just two times, it was again, you need to pray for this person. I was like, okay, that's not my own thought. That's probably God. But here's the problem, is for me, prayer, I want to be able to see, okay, I'm going to pray, and what's going to happen from that? I want to be able to see if it was successful or not. I want to have a tight control over that. I want to pray in a calculated way, enough, but God gave that invitation. And so, for the next 2 days, I think it was maybe 2 days, just remembered to pray for that person. And that was about it. That was the extent of my great generosity. But then a couple weeks after that, was out again and was going to the same place. And as I'm walking in, I'm like, oh yeah, there was that person I was supposed to pray for here. The same person was there. And again, it was just one time an imprint, please pray for this person. And so for me, it was hard because I want to know what I'm praying for. But it was like, please pray for this person. Okay, and so for the next month, 2 months, just bringing this person to prayer, bringing them to prayer. God, I don't know what you want here, but I'm going to bring this person to prayer. And just over a month ago, God revealed just in a small way, but in a very concrete way, what he was doing there. And when he revealed it, I was amazed. And it's as if he was saying to me, do you see what I'm doing here? Do you see what I just did here? Can you trust me a little bit now, oh, you of little faith? So God talks to me, he mocks me a little bit because he knows I need to be shaken out of myself. But we live our lives in such a calculated way. We live with calculated risks, and it's not as if we don't need to be prudent and plan, but we plan God into that as well. That everything is held onto so tightly, my time, my plans, I'll give them to God, ready-made, and God, you make them happen. My money, my idea of how God works, how he doesn't work. But what God is asking of us instead is to live with a reckless generosity, which comes from a faith that knows him and that trusts him, so that we're able to live with this reckless generosity and actually have then within us a capacity to be amazed by God, to experience him as God. Not just a genie, but as God who is actually caring for you, providing for you. That he'll never abandon you. It's the wonder of faith. And the way that he desires to do this. These two widows today are held up by the church in the readings. Why? Not just to reveal what's within their hearts. Yes, there's beautiful faith there. But they're held up more so to reveal what's in God's heart. To reveal this desire to provide for you and to care for you. And what's more, this desire to want to amaze you. To reveal himself as your father.